they get to the sex scene and my soul left my body. And I don't know.
That's if horrible. Yeah, hey, everybody. So. I just went live because I didn't hit the button earlier.
Oh, no!
So everything that happened before this was not there.
So we spared them. We spared them the fruit of evolution.
We did spare them the fruit of evolution talk. We just came in right as James was talking about a sex scene. So for context, he's talking
with
about
a gorilla. By the
a
way,
a pink gorilla.
Well, she's a human now. If that makes it better.
No, none of that is better. I am shook right now.
No, I'm gonna go with the intro again. We're just. Everybody, welcome back.
Hey.
We were here a second ago. We were talking about fruit of evolution, but we accidentally skipped over the whole intro bit. So again, Lindsay Loveridge, Anime News Network, Jackie Jing, also of Anime News Network, James Beckett, previously from Attack on Titan, here again to talk about Demon Slayer and other anime with us today. We're going to be discussing Irina, the Vampire Cosmonaut, and the Faraway Paladin. Before we get to all of that, though, we wanted to remind everyone to like and subscribe and follow this channel. We're happy that so many of you have been sticking around for, I guess this is technically season 3 of the ANN After Show. We're on our third big show. Yeah. James, what have you been up to? We kind of you're reviewing some stuff for us this season, right?
Yeah, everything before the gorilla makeout scene from Fruit of Evolution is kind of a blur.
Okay.
So I don't really remember much of my old life. But, Tact Opus Revolution. Wait, no. Tact Opus Destiny. Sorry.
Yes.
Opus Destiny. That's a great one that I'm loving right now. It's full of theater gremlin diva kids and their exasperated big sister mom and monsters, which is always fun. And then Demon Slayer, which we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
And I was also catching up. We were talking about the new season of Kaguya-sama that's coming out. And my wife and I have been catching up on that. And that show is freaking adorable.
Yeah, it's
I love that show.
Yeah. So cute.
It's just super chicken funny. Soup for the soul. Yeah.
It's got some of the best comedic timing, I think, in a lot.
It reminds me of oh my gosh, what's the show that's so good and everyone loves it? Monthly Girls Ozaki-kun. The same energy. A bunch of idiots.
We've all been begging for a second season of that for 10 years, right?
Nozaki-kun. So maybe we'll get it another 10. If
Jackie, if you watch Monthly Girls Nozaki-kun, you would like it. It's really fun.
Kaguya-sama, Love is War, I don't know. James might kind of know. Actually, James probably knows this. I'm heavily shonen seen in anime and was strictly until I honestly started working with Lindsay at Anime News Network. And then Lindsay would always drop titles and then ended up watching Fruits Basket, 2 Year Eternity. Don't know how I'm got through that one, but just titles like that. But Kaguya-sama Love is War, I remember someone recommended that to me and I was why in the hell would I want to watch a romance comedy, But for some reason that one hits with me because their strategy is a battle or war. You know what I mean? So it's I know that it's just, there is no action, but for some reason it feels like action to me. So I actually really like that show.
Yeah,
just wanted to explain myself there, but
it's really funny.
Yeah.
They've got a great ensemble cast in there. I'm not going to remember their names, but pink haired girl is great.
Yeah. Chika. Is it Chika?
Chika, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I only know Chika and Ishigami there.
And she does the little dance. She's dee, dee, dee. Yeah, she's so cute.
Yeah. I didn't care for the gloomy guy that much until he got the big backstory reveal. And then I started to really feel for him during the sports festival, I think it was. So that was,
Okay, so when season 3 comes out, why don't we talk about that? That will be the show that we should cover.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're struggling right now to figure out which one to cover now, but I'm down for Kaguya-sama Love is a War. That's some good stuff there.
People in the comments are also pointing out that Ranking of Kings is perfect. I'm reviewing that on Anime News Network, and yes, it is the best show this season. I will die.
If anyone talks trash about Boji, I will personally kill them.
Yes,
hey, I haven't watched it yet, so now you guys, I guess I gotta watch it.
You gotta watch it.
It looks so kitty. It looks like
it's a miracle.
Anime.
It is a miracle show.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
The animation, I have reservations. Yeah, I have reservations about it.
The art style is a children's picture book. That's totally intentional. But there's serious stuff going on in it for sure. the second episode where you find out about the Assassin's Clan and how they all got murdered. And there's like a scene with the evil nobles and they've got a spear and all the shadow puddles are like on it. And they're just like, duh, duh, duh. And then Kage, the last survivor.
Hold on, what like, are they like, sees, Lindsay?
Duh, duh, duh,
duh. Accurate.
Yeah, was it accurate? Yeah.
It's absolutely accurate. And then Kage sees his like mom, like, you know, she's impaled on like a spear and it's like,
yeah,
it's intense. Yeah.
No, you're gonna like it.
I almost said B word. Why? Because I was literally shook.
Yeah. Like, what? All the Shadow Clan people, they look like, you know, puddles. So it's not like as graphic as like a human body. But I mean, you've seen her like trying to protect her son up to that point and have him go escape because she doesn't want him to die. And she puts up this huge fight in the second episode. And then he, you know, but.
My gosh. Okay. Yeah. That might be our anime to watch this season then.
See?
Honestly, that sounds better. Just that little synopsis sounds better than the four that we've talked about on the show. So,
yeah.
Well, we'll talk about two more today. But yeah, like that, I'm like, shoot, we should be watching that right now.
Yeah, you should be watching that right now.
Someone said Jackie's going to love the fight scene with the snakes.
Yeah, there's a good scene in the first episode where, is it the first or second?
It's the first episode
mm-hmm. that kind of shows you how Boji has his own fighting style. You know, he's deaf and he's small. But he's very like agile and can sort of like outmaneuver his opponents. And there's a scene where he ends up having to fight a bunch of snakes. I think they were sent by like, it was an assassination attempt, I think. But so yeah. They like all these snakes are released and he's able to like boop, 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 boop the snakes. Boop, 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 boop. You're muted, Jackie.
Lindsay's sound effects today, like I'm done. I'm sorry. And then the anyway,
we need to do a ranking of Kings Abridged, and then you
yeah,
you know there is an audio version. There are people who listen to the Ann and After that's, show that's in true. Podcast format. So Lindsay is just providing that for them. So.
I should have been in radio.
Yes. Oh man, I can't.
Like 1930s, like serial radio. Like back when they had the murder mysteries, and you had to like, whenever a door opens, you have to go.
Yeah, we got. Yeah, literally. That's what I was thinking. But
creaky doors.
Oh man.
So I think the first one we're going to talk about is Far Away Paladin. This is the picture I picked just to kind of sum up the show. We've got our main boy here, Will. He's a good boy, and you can't see his mommy in this, but you can see his ghost dad and his skeleton dad. Jackie.
Ghost grandpa.
Okay. Yeah. I like
skeleton
grandpa.
Dad and mummy mom for sure. I think. Yeah.
Was I the only one that did not realize she was supposed to be a mummy at first? Was that just me? I thought she was
I was
spooky
confused.
Priestess or like
that's
a
what
ghost?
I thought too. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, what is she? But I thought she looked cool. I was like, dude, everyone's going to want to cosplay her because she's got that like really cool mask on and everything. So, I thought nun or priestess for sure.
And I mean, anyway. And she is like a priestess, right? Like that's part of the main reveal that they have in the episode is he discovers that she prays to this goddess that has renounced her because they made a pact with the god of death. And that's why they're all like living dead. But she continues to worship the goddess, even though it actually causes her physical pain to do so, which I thought was sort of an interesting twist there. You know, she like catches on fire and he's super duper concerned and tries to save her. But so far, like it seems really, I like the world building so far as the characters. The ghost grandpa, I think, is cool. I like how he and the skeleton like play off of each other. Like one of them is very like brute strength and the other one's very much like study, goddammit. And I've only made it through the first episode. Jackie, I think you said you watched episode two.
I think I watched all the way through episode three. So are you guys not through episode three?
Not yet. No. So I was,
dude,
I was curious.
It gets nuts. Don't talk about it. Okay.
No, do talk about it.
Okay. So, so basically, if I like remember correctly, like the first episode, we really just kind of get introduced to Will and these like three main characters, and Gus is the ghost guy, and he's like obviously very like Merlin-esque and wizardy, you know, and he's like teaching him like, you know, just general life lessons. And I forgot the name of the skeleton guy, but he's obviously like kind of like a hot-headed warrior type, but also like a big soft heart. And personally, like I vibe with him. His vibes are very much Jackie vibes. So I was like, oh my God, I love you, you know? And then like, I love Mother Mary too. I think that she's like very nurturing and caring. And I think, you know, when we first started talking about this show, I was kind of like, what is this? Like these three like undead creatures are taking care of a kid. Like, why would I have any interest in this? But I actually ended up finding like the whole little like family dynamic really cute and intriguing. Not a lot of action in the first episode. So y'all know I was kind of like, why am I watching this? The second episode, there wasn't a lot of action, but we find like Gus, the ghost, kind of puts Will in this kind of this situation that tests his character and also tests his skills. And then you just like immediately melt because Will is just like a good boy. Like he's just like a sweet, good boy. He kind of reminds me of Emma from The Promised Neverland. Like, you know what I mean? Oh, like, God. He's got, like, spirit, but is, like, very... Honestly, I was telling James before the show started that this show seems a lot to me like this... What is it? The slime reincarnated. I can't say that whole time. It's slime. Yeah, thank you. It reminds me of that anime, but a little bit more action and a little bit more heart, which I know people love that anime, but for me, it just moved a little bit too slow. So this one's moving a little faster than that. But like in particular, the third episode slapped, and I hate to ruin this for y'all because I'm not going to lie. Like I was like kind of like meh about it. So I guess like the three of them again made some pact with this god who like the undead god. Right.
Right.
And they had to do that because there was this boy, I guess maybe Will's age or a little bit older than Will. And he's like his title was like the High King or something. And he could cut himself and his blood could turn into armies. And it's funny because like Will is like, well, that's a cheap hack. And I don't know if you play like video games, but I literally like started like cracking up because it's like, yeah, that's ridiculous, right? Yeah. So, you know, a little cliche here, but obviously he becomes power hungry and he becomes a malicious leader. And he's just like, absolutely just like, just a terrible person. And so the three try to bring him down and it's super heavy because the skull guy, like, you can tell he's like really has a lot of guilt and shame about it because he's like, I couldn't bring him down. And like Gus and Mary both gave me their blessing and were like doing everything in their power to help me succeed. And I'm kind of getting like chills thinking about it again. Yeah. Because like you could just tell that he felt like he failed not only both of them who are like his loved ones, but like all of society, I guess, in a way. And so in the end, they, you know, I'm again, this is the abridged version, y'all. They got the undead god to turn them into creatures to somehow lock up the High King or whatever his name was underground because they couldn't beat him. You know what I mean? And
so he's sealed.
So he's sealed. And then I'll be honest, I was kind of watching it in the background and you already know how tough that is when it's subtitled, but for some reason, like they believe that there's humanity around them because this little boy randomly showed up. And so I think like somehow they're hoping to find more humanity and all this stuff. But like, basically the episode ended with, you know, them telling him all this heavy shit, for lack of a better word. And like, yeah. You can only imagine, like, Will's like, oh my God, you are humans. Then you went through all this. And then my dad is feeling all this shame. And like, I want to cry. Like, you know what I mean? Like all this is happening and you're digesting this as a viewer as well. And then the undead god comes down and he's like, I need y'all's souls.
What?
And like, yeah. And then Will is like, can't move. And he's like, I can't move. I can't move. You know what I mean? And he's like, he doesn't want to watch his like family, like have their souls taken away. And then Gus like comes and busts in. He's like, y'all run. I'll hold them off for now. And then the episode ended. I was like, what?
Wow.
Yeah. So like, I'm honestly getting chills again. So like, it's really, I honestly, it kind of gives me, I think it's like the perfect combination of Mushoku Tensei and reincarnated as a slime, where it's like got a little bit more action and a little bit more heart to me. And just, and this is Jackie's opinion, obviously, than reincarnated as a slime. And then it's not as, there's no perversion. I haven't seen any fan service or anything like Mushoku Tensei, which was like Mushoku Tensei. Like I wanted to like Mushoku Tensei, but I effing hated the protagonist and I hated the shit that they let people get away with. Like I honestly didn't get past the mom or the dad cheating on the mom with the maid. Like, that alone just pissed me off. And I was like, them all just trying to like tolerate it and be like, this is life. Like, I was like, no, that's not how that works, in my humble opinion, but whatever. And then when I later heard about like him having sexual encounters, even though I know they're both kids, like, I was just like, I'm lost on this one. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, yeah. I'm lost. So this is like, got like that Mushoku Tensei fantasy and the lore and the action and the heart and these really epic characters, but there's just none of that like fan service or like perverted stuff. So like, I'm actually very intrigued. It's a little bit like boring, like Reincarnated as a Slime though, where it's like, I don't know, a lot of like, I don't know how to
table
say
setting, like just trying to like table get everything setting. Set up.
I even think like farming, where they're like, he's in training. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, got it. Like, you know what I mean? But I think this is much stronger than the other two shows we watched. Sorry, James. I know you're a big fan of the Attack Top show, but like,
it's good. Okay. That show is good.
That show is boring. That show is boring. The only thing good about that show is the animation and the music. And then literally that can just go on in the background. Like, I don't even know what they're talking about. The girl looks cool. That's about it. But yeah, so this one, I'm like, especially the way that last one ended, I was like, I'm hooked on this right now. So,
yeah, I think Will's probably going to go through a lot of, you know, fantasy upgrade type of stuff, because he's not a paladin yet. Although I am kind of interested how in this world, how they use the term paladin. I don't know, Jackie, if they elaborated that or not, because I mean, my experience with it is D&D, right? Where paladin is like a warrior for a particular god.
You better not deviate outside his alignment.
It's interesting because his training has incorporated a lot of magic, but yeah. without a doubt, Will's strongest ability is his mind. And I think like you saw that a lot in the second episode, because literally somehow the training is that he has to kill Gus. And I'm like, I knew he wasn't going to have to kill Gus, but he's like, it's like so anime. He's like, I cannot kill Gus. And this is so heart-wrenching. I was like, y'all know, like, you're not really going to have to kill Gus, but like, you know, they're just like playing up the drama.
Yeah, playing the drama.
And it was like, it was cute, but it's like, you know, I was kind of like, okay, this is ridiculous. But you see his whole thought process and he's like, well, if I use fire on him, he's not going to be able to do this. And if I like knock this over and try to do this, like, it's not going to work. And I was like really impressed with how much they were showing that like, he's a strategist and he's really intelligent. And I think that like, all of his parents and our grandparent, whatever their family dynamic is, they really just know he's smart, and that they're like, okay, you could be a good leader because you're really intelligent. But like, he's incorporating magic, and I think we've seen him do swordplay and stuff like that. So I'm kind of interested into like what he's going to end up actually being. So
yeah. So you think you're going to keep watching it then, Jackie?
I think I am. I think the first two episodes, I was kind of like, this is Reincarnated as a Slime. And I'm just not, you know, like Reincarnated as a Slime has its audience. Like, people love it. It's just for me, it just doesn't hit for me. So it really felt like that. But then this last episode, like, it just heated up so fast. And I'm not going to lie, I really like the lore and I'm attracted to the lore, but it also makes me hesitant because it's just like, y'all know, like, when they make the lore really intense and confusing like that, like, it's an investment. So then you're like, okay, am I going to invest myself in this? Mm-hmm. Attack on Titan, of course, like, we all end up investing our time into it. But I'm just like, this is starting to get really tricky with the lore. Like, they have all these gods and then this great war and like, you know, and I'm starting to be like, okay, cool. But am I going to sign up for this? Like, I'm just not sure. Cause it's
sometimes
like,
it's hard to keep track of all of it too. Like, I find it's easier to keep track of that kind of stuff when I'm reading it, like in book form, than if I'm watching it. So yeah. I'll probably watch more of it too. I watched the first episode with my husband. He really liked it. And that's why I didn't get to the other ones. Cause he was like, well, wait, don't watch it without me. And I was like,
aww, so cute. Aww.
That's what happens when you're married. Is the minute you go find a show you like, then it's, then you gotta wait.
Yeah, or you've gotta explain whatever weird thing you're watching when they come in like 2/3 of the way in. Like, I promise
this is for work.
Yeah, exactly.
This is for work. No, I watch weird stuff like outside of work too. I watched just like a quick difference. I watched an Elijah Wood movie the other night where he plays an FBI profiler who's interviewing Ted Bundy.
That movie looked awesome.
It's all right. Oh, okay. I feel like the guy who played Ted Bundy was like really kind of like almost character. He felt more like a caricature than a real person. I don't, you know, never met serial killer Ted Bundy. No idea what he was like in person.
Oh, you haven't? So, he's, I mean, real cool guy.
I mean, he's dead.
Oh
now.
My gosh. Stop.
So, you know, but he just seemed really, really like
extra.
Yeah, his face was contorting like all the time. Anyway, but I'm like, he walks in the last third of it when Ted Bundy's like describing one of his crimes, and I'm like,
how do I
come in to get a drink or something, honey? Wife. Like, please don't make me. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! By the way, Lost Thief said, James, how do you explain Fruit of Evolution to your wife? And I just. Y'all missed out. We were having an in-depth conversation about Fruit of Evolution, and Lindsay forgot to press live. So we were just talking about Fruit of Evolution in depth, and I don't even want to hear about it ever again after that. Yeah. But y'all missed on that.
Pink girl smooching. That's what y'all missed.
It's for work, I swear. I don't even like it.
Uh-huh. You somehow are finding sick enjoyment out of that weird anime. Like...
sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
sure. Speaking
of weird anime, here is the one screenshot I have. Irina the Vampire Cosmonaut, just for reference, this is like he imagines this. This doesn't actually take place in the anime because Irina doesn't bite people, but this anime is actually really interesting. I like it a lot. I mean, I'm a fan of things that like kind of tweak historical settings to add like a supernatural element to it, you know, like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer, that kind of quality entertainment.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yes. Yeah. It's sort of like that. It's the space race of the 1960s, only they've renamed, you know, the United States and Russia.
It's UZSR. To... what was USA? I forgot.
They mixed the USA and the UK for some reason.
Yeah. Because it ends up being hyphen or abbreviated as UK, even though it's supposed to be the United States.
Oh, because, is it? Okay.
Yeah. But, and I at first I was interested because I feel like most Cold War era, like dramas and whatnot that I've watched, they always come out of the United States, which is always going to have, you know, kind of a vested interest in having things look one way or another. So I was kind of interested to see how someone from Japan would do the Cold War. They still, you know, the US, I'm going to call it the USSR because it's too confusing to keep it.
The UZSR.
Yeah. UZSR.
Doesn't roll off the tongue easy.
No, it's not. You know, there's still a bunch of assholes, I think, in this version, right? I mean, vampires are real and they're just, I think, is it implied that they're from Siberia or just.
I didn't think it specified where they were from. They were just.
It kind of said that they were like in the mountains or in the forest, like they've just always been hanging out on the fringes of society. I'm not entirely sure. I might have missed like a
lore. But they're like, hey, you know, we killed a bunch of dogs in space, but we got we got to do some tests for humans. So we're going to take.
By the way, Lindsay, when I started watching this, I was like, of course, Lindsay's going to recommend an anime where
the dog dies?
Where dogs are dying. I was like, why does she do this to me?
It happened in real life.
That's just history.
It's just like, I don't need to see that. I don't want to see that. Yeah. James, she made me watch. She was like, you should really watch To Your Eternity. It's a really good anime. Literally, you've seen To Your Eternity, right? I'm like,
I reviewed it. Yeah.
I'm two minutes in and a dog dies. I was just like, Lindsay, what the is wrong with you? Like,
so many
why?
People die in that show. That's
so
really
many.
Like
I know. And then then the kid dies. And I was just like, Lindsay, like, why am I here?
A lot of kids die in that show too.
Yeah. I'm like, children why and am I here? But like, anyway.
So you're like, I've already cried this much. How much worse can it get?
Exactly. And then I start this one and I'm like, Lindsay, like, why though? Why are you doing this to me? And then the poor like dog is like in space. I was like, I can't right now. Like, I can't.
It was really awful that we did that. I mean, we as people did that.
Yeah, you know? Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but just
no, it's
dogs dying. Why though? Why?
Yeah, so I mean, Russia wants to be the US for the first manned space flight to the moon. So they take vampires who are considered human. James just loses it.
Keep going.
Okay. And decide to train them to go to space first so they can do all their tests on vampires and, you know, cover it up or whatever. They were pretty open about the fact that, like, there are failures during, you know, all their tests or whatever, and that they've just been covering it up. I thought that was just, like, dropped really nonchalantly by the main character, Lev. He's like, but if we do that, if we broadcast it live, we can't hide it if we fail like we have before. It's the Cold War. Everyone was hiding everything.
Yes. So is it the actual Cold War time, or is it just, like, kind of loosely based off that time? That's what
I think it's supposed to actually be, like, the 1960s. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because they've been showing the dates on screen, haven't they? Like, 1960, blah, blah, blah.
They do. I don't know how, like, specific. I think for me, one of the things that, like, kind of threw me off with the show is that it changed enough of, like, the geography and the history and the names, but I wasn't sure how direct the correlation was supposed to be, because obviously we didn't have vampires as far as we know. And it was, I'm the kind of guy where, like, when you try to, like, draw my attention to, like, oh, we're making parallels to history. Yeah. And I start getting, like, really wrapped up and, like, oh, I wonder what this is supposed to, like, be an allegory for.
Right.
But then they, you know, then there's vampires. And so yeah. I was like, is this, like, did Russia, like, send a bunch of, like, ethnic minorities into space? Because they're really pushing the whole, like, vampire prejudice angle. Anyway, I don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah.
I hope not. Because, I mean, there are a lot of ethnic minorities in Russia. I mean, the USSR is huge, or was huge. Russia is still huge. You know, and you have Romani people, and you have like Muslim sects from the, when you start getting kind of closer to China, like near Azerbaijan and stuff like that. But to my knowledge, that didn't happen. But if it did, I would also not be surprised. I mean, the US did similar thing, not for space, but I mean, like, we did similar things
for everything else.
Yeah, we did everything
else. Yeah, we did.
This wasn't for space. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know if that's just something the author completely inserted in there, or if it is symbolic of something. But either way, so our main character here, Lev, we know that he fucked up at some point. We don't know what he did.
He got
demoted, really. So he wanted to go to space, but they're like, no, bro, instead you have to be the caretaker for the vampire we're gonna send to space. And, you know, there's prejudice against vampires because everyone assumes vampires are just like they are in the books and the movies and whatnot. So he it's really a pretty bad demotion because he's, like, gotta sleep in a basement.
Yeah, like, that's a where prison they
keep
cell.
Her. Yeah. Yeah, he's got to sleep in a prison cell next to her where they keep all the monkeys and other dogs that they do experiments on for space. It's horrible. And he's got to switch to a complete night shift because they're sensitive to sunlight. I think Irina is actually pretty cute, though. I like her, and I like her hair and her design in general. And Lev actually seems like a pretty nice dude as of the end of episode
one. Isn't it their romance story? It starts off, the whole thing starts off, and it's like, this is about a human and a vampire, and how, like, am I wrong? Did I make this up?
I mean, I don't remember it being set that way, but that doesn't mean that it won't develop that way.
Hold on, that was, like, the beginning of the show.
Like, there was, like, a narrator.
You guys keep talking. I'm going to look this up.
Okay.
Am I delusional? Like, it said, like, this is maybe, like,
look, Jackie,
am I wrong?
Preview guy does a number on us, you know, when we,
yeah.
When you got to watch. So,
okay, yeah. I'm like, y'all keep talking.
Shows banging around in our heads.
Believe it. I feel like that's the direction it's going.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it seemed like it'd be natural for them to develop a romantic relationship eventually. I'm curious why she wants to go to space.
I don't think she wants to. I think they're forcing her, right?
You think they kidnapped her? I thought that was in the very beginning of the episode, though, where they said they were brought together by their...
Oh, no. You guys are seeing the dog. This is terrible. Why am I rewatching this? Why? Why, though?
Well, so bad. Like, they're like, yeah, the dog made it to space, but we never made it so it could land.
This is also a story of a boy and girl who risked their lives for their love of space. Oh, okay, whoops.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Love of space.
I thought it was like for their love. Or like, again, I was watching this in the background, so I'm like, you know, like double taking every once in a while. But yeah, okay. They're gonna hook up. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. They'd be cute. They would be cute. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, continue. And rewatch that dog. I don't know
there, why I did that to myself. People who are sensitive, there is a prolonged scene about how they sent a dog into space and never intended for it to come back. And I think they also mentioned that Laika, which this is wasn't known, I think at the time it wasn't really revealed till quite a bit later, that Laika died within a few hours of going into space from like heat death. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Anime. Just
sparing no shortage of detail. She's like, and a dog died in space.
Lots of dogs sadly died in space.
And
yeah.
It happened quickly. And we're like, okay. Or not. I don't like. And then they were like, he was up there for a week or something like that.
They
like,
thought was like, he was up there for a week. I mean, the spaceship might have been up there for a week, but he was not alive in there for a week.
This is really...
So you know in the Fruit of Evolution when they make out with that monkey, that was also pretty messed up, wasn't it?
Lindsay, what do we even say to that?
Like, I don't know.
James and I are like just dead silent staring at you. We're just
I think we all just need to have a moment for the animals that had no choice and were sacrificed.
Rest in peace
for science.
God, yeah. Oh, and then they were like, it has a little statue. Actually, one of the best, what made me like this show was actually a scene where I guess she just got made fun of by everybody in the cafeteria and they're all like not treating her like she's a human being. Mm-hmm. And then they like go up to the statue of the dog. I don't know why I'm laughing right now. I think it's because I get uncomfortable and then I start laughing. I'm sorry, guys, but they go up to the statue. No, it's the
same thing. I'm laughing too. Yeah. Because Nick is in the comments saying Russia's $1 billion dog.
I cannot right now. Yeah. And so so then they're talking about this dog, and then literally they're like, after that tragedy, it becomes an unwritten rule to treat subjects like objects. And then she goes, isn't that just running away from the guilt? And then it made me like that hit me different. And then I just realized how much in life we objectify people, like how much we personally do, like we don't treat other people like human beings, and it's because it makes it easier for us. You know what I mean? And like that would, like, honestly, I thought the show was good animation, like you said, girl looks cute, guy's nice. But then when it had that commentary, I was like, where is this going? Mm-hmm. Like, it's, I feel like
there's some actual philosophical depth to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that hit different. Because I think, like, I don't know, like, James, you were spared a lot of the psychological talk that poor AJ had to suffer through when we were doing My Hero Academia. Because I don't know if you watched that last season, but despite awful pacing, which I won't get into, there was a lot on trauma. You know what I mean? So like every single episode, we were like talking about trauma. But like, I don't know, like this just hit me different, because I was just like, I just think so many times I feel like I've been objectified by people and they don't feel any remorse or they don't feel bad about it at all. And it's because they don't want to see that. They don't want to like see me as a human. And I'm not clear about either. I've definitely done the same thing. Yeah, I'm a vampire. They saw me as a vampire. That was it.
Was it because of the blood drinking? Because I'm not saying it was
it's definitely, you know, happened. Keep that on the down low. I can't even look at blood, y'all. There's no way it could be. There is no way it could be a vampire. But I just, and then I think I'm guilty of it too. And so like, I was just like, you know, like when we forget, like, we're all humans. We don't treat each other well. You know what I mean? And so, like, I just thought it was crazy that they killed this dog, obviously felt a lot of remorse about it. You know what I mean? Because you could see, like, the guy reacting. Like, he was like,
yeah, oh, the scientist.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it was like, okay, well, here's how, and then from this point forward, we're just going to treat these people like objects. And it's like, and now they're sending I know it's a vampire, but that's still, like,
they said they're like very, very close to humans, like
with the conscious, like, yeah, you know, more like I'm just like, I was like, what? Like, that got me hooked on the show. Was literally that part.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm definitely going to be watching more of it too. I think we've got a lot of good shows this season, to be honest. Like, another one.
Tacked Up or The Platinum End.
Sorry, guys. He just wants to start a fight with James today.
I know.
I'm not even gonna get into it, because James, I know my truth.
James, that show just has music and good animation. It is Violet Evergarden with music. That's it. Okay. It is Violet Evergarden.
You're describing a great show to me.
Hold on. Violet Evergarden is an awesome show. Oh God, I can't. Violet Evergarden just makes me want to just melt into a puddle. I can't.
You're describing a great show.
I'm sorry. Like, there is no story like happening. Like, there's just, it's just music and then them like just having aimless conversations. Like, I literally was like, I felt like I wasted my life. If it gets better, let me know.
We will.
But
I
how?
The first episode a 5-star review. So I don't know if there's.
James, if, I don't how? Know. What happened in
they went
that
on
episode?
A hilarious all-American road trip with monsters and they ate pancakes. And they played pianos, and the girls got a pretty dress, and they beat up monsters with it, and it's good.
Literally,
and the big sister
does not
tells
sound
the kids
appealing
to shut up.
At all.
That, and you know what I want to do
like,
all the time?
I'm not sold.
With my students, I want to tell them to shut up, but I can't. Oh my God. I get fired, but she can. And I respect
her. I'm really not
living vicariously through Anna.
And you know, if my students could turn into magical alien fighting virtuoso pianist things, I would be 10,000 times more patient with their nonsense, but they can't. So they need to get good, and Tactopus is already good, and that's my that's the show.
I all feel right. like I need is the third and fourth episode Hel- out in that show.
And again, Lost Thief Hilarious is the true word. It's the accurate word. That is the
hilarious is a strong word. Thank you, Lost Thief. I was like, I don't remember laughing once.
Oh. I'm just going to sip my water.
I was on my rowing machine trying to watch this, and I was like, there's nothing entertaining happening. Like, usually when I'm watching anime and working out, like, there's a good fight scene, and I'm like, ah! Or there's, like,
there
something,
like
two good really intense.
Wait, Jackie, so what is it like when you work out and there's a good fight scene?
I'm on my rowing machine. Yeah, but then, like, or there's something like really heavy going on and I'm like, I'd stop working out. And then I'm like, which happened with 2 Year Eternity, like all the time that tacked up. I was just like, why am I here? I'm going to stop with the working out movements. But yeah, James, let me know if it gets better later. And I am with Lost Thief. Like I was like,
I don't know.
Hilarious.
Maybe if you weren't screaming so much in the middle of your workouts, it would hit better.
Okay, let me know if it gets better.
Like, ah!
Let's talk about Mugen Train.
Let's talk about Rengoku discuss. Here, right? I got him up on the screen with his fire sword. He's got a dude, he's beheaded there. You know?
Anthropomorphic flame decal.
So I'm not gonna lie, like people love Demon Slayer. And it just, like, I watch Demon Slayer because, like, everyone's obsessed with it. And I feel like it's, like, one that you need to keep up with if you're, like, an otaku. Like, you're like, okay, like, I should kind of know what's going on with Demon Slayer. I have not fallen in love with any of the characters. Like, I think they're all cool, but I'm not, like, oh, my God, I love them. Like, when I was watching Naruto, I love Kakashi. I loved Itachi. That's about it. Kind of Shishikamaru too, but like I love them like so much, you know what I mean? And then obviously like My Hero Academia, you could go on and on, but like Demon Slayer, I've never really felt attached to any character. And then this boy showed up and I was like, oh my God, I like, he's fiery, he's funny, he's super strong, great eyebrows, like obviously fire ability, so I'm gonna vibe with that even more. And then they offed him. Spoiler alert. Sorry.
Jackie, James hasn't watched the movie. Jackie.
Oh shit! Oh my God, James, are you kidding me? James, I am so sorry.
I was going to do an intro where I actually said that part, but we just kind of started rolling.
First, you hate on my show. You hate on my theater kids, and now you do this to me.
I feel so bad. I feel so
no. I bad. The people were not being. I mean, I guess it's a spoiler.
That's a huge fucking spoiler. I thought that you were. I thought you were just.
He wasn't gonna find this out for like another 8 weeks.
No. Well, okay. Look,
James, I am shook right now. I feel so bad. I thought you saw the movie.
No.
Oh God.
No.
Someone put the cousin of shame on Jackie.
Now, to your credit,
I literally feel so bad right now.
Literally every other person that has been talking about this show, especially since the first episode of the season was like the Rengoku-centric little prequel thing. Yeah. They haven't exactly been subtle with their foreshadowing. So, yeah. You know, when people are like, oh.
Thank you for making me feel better. You're like, I kind of saw it coming. I'm like, no.
When people are like, oh, God, well, of course they're going to focus on Rengoku since, you know, all the stuff that happens in the movie. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, and also, yeah. And to your point, Jackie, I agree with you about the characters. I like the show a lot. And I think almost all of that for me comes down to the incredible work that Ufotable is doing. I mean, there isn't a show right now that looks like Demon Slayer, really. Like, it just doesn't. And it's kind of a pleasure to behold in any given scene. But given the show's track record, there's never going to be a time where they spend a whole bunch of time setting up and introducing this brand new and not important up until now character, unless some important thing was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think there's ever been any story beat in Demon Slayer that I found like surprising or that I couldn't call like 4 or 5 episodes in advance. Mm-hmm. And also the characters are, you know, I think the question that Lindsay was asking when we were getting ready to do the show is like, is the show working in TV form? You know, is the show working in television form? And I think the answer is kind of, I guess.
I was wondering about that because as someone who saw the movie, when I watched the movie, there were parts where I was like, this feels a little bit like 5 episodes smashed together. Like there were parts of it when I saw it in movie form that definitely felt like this doesn't feel like a clear like beginning, middle, end arc. Especially the end of it where like a villain shows up like out of nowhere and then we spend like 20 minutes with him. It felt episodic. So I was kind of wondering. So when they said they were splitting this up for TV, I was like,
You see, that's so interesting.
Yeah, like it made sense. It was going to be super easy to edit.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, 5 episodes. 100% agree.
But I haven't.
It's so interesting because my experience up until now has almost been the opposite. And maybe it's because I know it was packaged as a movie first, and that might be affecting like how I'm kind of evaluating and taking in the pacing. But especially this most recent episode where evil train demon guy, who I don't think has been given a name yet,
yeah,
who is a great villain.
Like, great villain.
Looks, but in the first 3 episodes,
He just kind of stands on the train and monologues a bunch.
Yeah,
and in a movie, right, when you know that, you know, in like an hour, that's all going to pay off.
That's most anime villains, though.
Maybe it's just me.
There and monologues like, a lot. Like I'm like, yeah, it's anime.
Just my perception. But this episode, I really felt like, oh, this feels like 20 minutes that got taken out from like the middle of a movie and just got kind of dropped as like an episode. Mm-hmm. But nothing has really happened. And I've always been a bit more traditional. Like one of my problems with a lot of manga adaptations is how when they get really like slavish to adapting like, you know, 3 chapters this week and 3 chapters next week and 3 chapters then the week after, the pacing can feel really weird and artificial. And maybe that's the problem that you guys are running into with My Hero Academia last season.
Yeah. But, and it was one of the issues I had with the movie version of this too. I was like, I felt like this could have been reworked more and it feels like you're chained to the original too much.
Yeah.
Lindsay, am I wrong? Like I don't know how many episodes in is Demon Slayer now, like 2 or 3?
3 for this mini arc out of 7.
So have you met like the kids on the train yet?
We have, but like the first episode was an anime only, I think, Rengoku kind of intro. It basically explains how Rengoku got on the train. And then the second episode was everyone else getting on the train. And then the third episode has been all of them in their dreams, you know, the individual dreams they've got. And then
the little comedy bits.
Yeah. So we got the 2 comedy bits. And then we got Rengoku had a dream about like his dad and his brother and all that stuff. And Tanjiro had his dream about his family not being dead. And the kids are there. We still haven't learned why they're there. All we know is that you know, they're kind of working for evil train demon guy. And
yeah. Okay. So you, yeah. you've got that established. Cause like, I felt like they were really, when I was watching the movie, I thought the ending slapped. I thought it was really, really strong, but it felt like that part with the kids was like really unnecessary and like really drawn out. So like, I wonder what you're going to think in the next few episodes. Like I like the little dream sequences, but I don't know if Lindsay agrees with this or not, but it was like, when I was watching the movie, I was like, this would have been a really good movie if they just like cut that down a lot. Like, I just didn't think they were super important to like, to everything going on. Like, it just seemed like unnecessarily added on. Like, and I guess like the, you know, whoever wrote it, like wanted to, this is how the villain's doing his thing. He's holding this over them. And it, like, you know, all this stuff, but I don't know. Like, I'm kind of bummed that Demon Slayer is doing this, but again, like they're making money. It's, you know, editing's easy. Like there's all these different reasons why they're doing it. But yeah, I don't know. Like it's just the pacing of the movie. I felt like that part could have been gone. And so I wonder where you're going to think about it watching it as episodes. Cause I think they're going to feel really fillery.
I think my main problem with the arc so far, it's kind of what my problem is. My biggest gripe with the show has always been, even though I like the show, and I've always been pretty positive on it, but I think watching Jujutsu Kaisen has really kind of flipped my perspective, but it's kind of reminded me that you can do really hype action and super cool world building and all of this great spectacle, but you can also have like the characters that stand out and resonate and actually really contribute to the story.
Yeah.
And so far in the movie, what I've realized, especially with the comedy bits, Lindsay, that you just mentioned, is that out of the whole cast that we really have in the show, we have Rengoku, who's kind of one of the main focuses of this. And yeah, he's getting this backstory that maybe it ends up like paying off in a way that's really poignant and profound and cool. But so far, to me, it seems pretty basic. Like, yeah, he has a crappy dad and he has a little brother and he does that weird
vacant daddy smile issues.
That I don't get the vacant smile. That doesn't, I don't really get why he does
I love that. His vacant smile because it's like he's hiding all this pain.
To me,
like it's like his mask.
Okay. I kind of thought that's what they were going for, but to me he just looks like a serial killer.
He
looks like a crazy person.
You don't need to go back to Ted Bundy.
I low-key like love Rengoku because I think he's like, God, I think for him, it's like his backstory is so heavy and sad and he's just trying to make his dad happy and protect his brother. Mind you, I watched this movie a while ago. I do need to rewatch it. But then it was like, but he doesn't want anyone to know like how much he's suffering. So he's just kind of like, I'm Rengoku and I'm your guys' leader and I'm cheerful and I like eating. You know what I mean? Like it's all like a mask.
Yeah.
And because you see that side of him, which is very playful and fun and funny. I thought he was super funny. But then you see these flashbacks and you're just like, whoa, this guy is like really tortured. And still, I still think he's, you know, he's not healed from what happened with his dad. It doesn't feel like that to me. I feel like he's still like tortured by what is going on internally.
Yeah. I think what James was getting at though is that other than Rengoku, like, do you like any of the other characters, Jack?
No.
So this is kind of where I'm at.
Is just comic relief.
Yeah.
And Inosuke is just comic relief.
Yeah.
And Nezuko, I call her a murder Tamagotchi because that's what she is. She's cute and she makes funny faces and she kills things. But she's not really a character yet. Like the amount of emoting and empathy that she can derive isn't like that much more than like a cute pet.
Yeah.
Because we don't even know how aware she is of what's happened to her, how aware she is of what's going on around her. She's in a box most of the time. And then Tanjiro is nice. Like he's a nice boy. He's a good boy.
Mm-hmm.
Good boy, Tanjiro. But I feel like what's made Demon Slayer work so well is that when Tanjiro's empathy kind of clashes and mixes with the villains that we've met, you know, all of these demons that have had these really interesting and cool backstories that draw the complexities of, you know, being a human that gets turned to this monster. And so this whole time for the past few episodes, I've been like really wanting to learn more about this weird nightmare train demon guy. But, you know, we've mostly been focusing on on the protagonists.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think the protagonists are the most boring part about Demon Slayer.
I think you're onto something with the whole like Zenitsu and Inosuke being comedic relief and them not really like broadening their appeal out. It'd be like if, you know, I know we don't like Mineta from MHA, but
it'd be like if everyone was Mineta and then
plus Deku. And it's sort of like Inosuke and Zenitsu is kind of like pervy a little bit, but not to the same degree as Mineta, but they're just both.
He's like girl crazy. I don't find him like gropey or weird, but he's just kind of like, you know, which I still don't love, but yes.
Yeah. I mean, I can tolerate that in the same way that like Sailor Jupiter was about boys and Sailor Moon, you know, it's just similar sort of thing. It's just that both him and Inosuke are really loud. Both of them are like yelling constantly. Zenitsu is worse for me than Inosuke, but they're still like, I give Inosuke a little more leeway, I guess.
Inosuke's at least interesting. He's weird enough that his yelling for me is at least kind of a
James.
It was Zenitsu's doing. We all started talking about him, and then that's when everything went wrong.
It's true. It's true.
I was like, oh
no. But yeah, I just feel like the cast in general is not, I'm not in love with them. I mean, I don't want us to get haters by comparing it to JJK, but like, I love the cast of JJK.
We love JJK.
Every single cast member in that show could be someone's favorite.
Yeah.
So let's talk, like, honestly, this is a really interesting conversation because it's like, I think that, you know, for some reason, people like are in love with the show. So are they in love with the show because of the animation, because of the action and stuff like that? Or like, why are people vibing with it so much? Because I mean, agree.
Character designs are really strong. Like as far as like, marketing,
even this image alone is like, you know why people like it for its animation. Like this image alone, you know?
All the characters are really memorable and easy to tell apart. So like, we don't even know that much about the rest of the Hashira, but there's the Hashira of Love, I think it is. She's on the pink braid with like green at the end. Like I recognize
people
all the
love her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the butterfly girl too.
What I think has made it so accessible. And I think the reason that the movie blew up, and again, to go back to that question of like why maybe splitting it up into an arc wasn't the best version of the story is that when you're like just sitting down and I kind of hate the phrase turning off your brain because I feel like that maybe implies like that something is dumb when it doesn't require a lot of like active engagement. But I don't think Demon Slayer is dumb. I think it is simple. You know, I think you got
100%.
You've got your main characters. They all have basically one note. You know, they have one character trait that you got to worry about.
Yeah.
And only really one of them has like an arc that you have to follow. Everyone else is just there to support that. And so it's basically, you know, every single week, Tanjiro and the group have a mission. And instead of having to worry about, you know, who's going to betray who or, you know, which character is going to learn this lesson or that lesson, every other character except for Tanjiro is mainly just there to contribute to the comedy or the action. And then Tanjiro gets the whole thrust of the emotional development. And then Jackie, like you were saying, every now and then you'll get a character like Rengoku or gosh, I forgot her name. The girl, the butterfly girl that's kind of crushing on Tanjiro from last season. She got a little bit of that too. Yeah. But it's simple. And so it's the kind of show where I think the reason it's so popular is like, I mean, I'm at work and some of my like, you know, teacher colleagues that are 20 years older than me know what Demon Slayer is. And they sat down to watch it with their family and they're like, yeah, I get it. It's pretty cool. I think it's simple and straightforward and just easy to follow enough that the subtitles aren't much of a barrier for people if they're watching it subtitled. It doesn't, you know, it isn't super pervy, so that doesn't turn people off. And it's violent, but it's violent in the kind of way that, again, I think it's fun. Like, it's never grotesque like Jujutsu Kaisen could be sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's never, like, off-putting, really. And so
JJK, man, like that's got some heavy moments. I think you are right. It's kind of like it's found this way to just be really safe You know,
it's like a Marvel movie, really. It's like a Marvel movie. It's like that Marvel movie of animes in a good way.
That is a good way. You just hit it on the head. That is why Demon Slayer is as popular as it is, because it's just, it's safe. It's got like enough action and easy and entertaining enough arc to digest. You know what I mean? But it's just kind of like,
the bad guys are very clearly bad. The good guys are very obviously good. Like, you don't really have to, you know, again, it doesn't try to make you think too hard. It just gives you some cool stuff to look at.
Just for me personally, like, that's not going to make it an anime that I get tattooed on my body, like Cowboy Bebop and Sailor Moon. And like, I low-key want to get Attack on Titan, but I just got to see how it ends. Cause if it doesn't end good, then I can't get that tattoo.
You know, people to get the wrong idea.
And I was going to get a My Hero Academia one, but after this last season, I was like, nope, unless it's got some really good coming up later. But like, it's like, I don't know, like, I want to fall in love with the show more. It's just kind of like, it's just always been like, it's not bad. Like you said, it's definitely like entertaining enough. And I do think the characters are cool, but I've always just wondered why it just didn't hit me enough. Like, even like, I know people think Naruto is like very, you know, like, it's just, I don't know, like, they don't think it's like great. They think it's like a Marvel movie S2, but even that one had like, I don't know, like really heavy parts with Itachi, Kakashi, like I said, like Toby was, had a super heavy arc. Like, I don't know. It's just like, I want this anime to just do a little more.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe I we'll see. I don't read the manga or anything like that, so maybe it'll get better. But it's just like, you see something like JJK hit and it like somehow just, I don't know if it's great writing or I mean, it has to be great writing, but it's like, the characters, you connected with all of them really well. They were all funny AF too. And there was like a lot of darkness. It was like, I would be crying in some episodes. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that was the first season. So it's like, I don't know. I just find myself watching this show and then I'm just kind of like, why am I watching this show? Like, you know what I mean? But I don't know. And then I fell in love with Rengoku during the movie. And then I won't say anything else.
All right.
On that note, great show, everybody.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. James, it's great to have you back. Guys, you know, make sure to come back again Monday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. We'll be talking just about the new season, what's going on in the anime news world, and, you know, just what we're up to. We're just having a cool hangout time. So, yeah, if you haven't already, remember to like and subscribe to this channel so you get your notifications so you don't miss us in case you showed up late. We want to be here on time next time so you can get all of our hot takes on Fruit of Evolution and Pink Monkeys. All right. We'll see you guys.
Pink
all.
Gorilla.
Pink Gorilla. Scene. Yeah. Yeah. Get it right, Lindsay. It's a
Yeah. If I'm going to go through this, y'all better recognize, y'all better understand that that man, he kissed a gorilla passionately with tongue.
Oh god, was there tongue?
Okay, we're done. End the show, Lindsay. Oh my god.
Bye, everybody.